This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. There isn't anyone who survived their teens without confusion, anxiety, and doubt. Everything in adolescence is new, and everything seems thrilling or terrifying or excruciatingly boring. Our vivid passage through this universal yet utterly individual experience is the subject of innumerable books. One of the things that helped us all get through it was the ability to put ourselves in the company and in the shoes of Huck Finn or Holden Caulfield. Today, in our most recent Writer's View, we'll talk with three authors about how they and their contemporaries write about and for adolescence. And we want to hear from you. Was there a character or a book that got it right when you were a teen or, in retrospect, years later? If you're in the midst of adolescence now, what are you reading that speaks to you and how you see the world? Join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. When we think of contemporary literature and adolescence, a name that quickly comes to mind is Jeffrey Eugenides. His first novel, The Virgin Suicides, was turned into a popular film of the same name. It explored the lives of five teenage sisters growing up in a repressed household in the suburbs of Detroit. His latest book, Middlesex, is about the difficulties of identity and sexuality that often accompany the transition to adulthood. The novel won the 2003 Pulitzer Prize. Jeffrey Eugenides joins us now from NPR's Bureau in Chicago. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So two questions. When you were a teen, was there a book that really spoke to you and explained it all for you?
Well, I wanted to be a writer at a fairly young age, so I tended to read serious books that I didn't really understand. But the book that was most influential to me was Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man by Joyce. Obviously, that begins in babyhood and goes through his adolescence. But the whole story of becoming a writer, not choosing to be a priest, but to pursue art was something that I took very literally, and I think it made me become a writer.
When you, sure became a writer when you were a teenager, doing a lot of writing then, I'm sure. But when you, as a grown-up, looking back, why did you decide both of your books are in a way, about the adolescent years?
I don't think I ever made a conscious decision to write about adolescence. I began writing my first book in my late 20s, so teenage years was not so far away. And I think, like everyone else, teenagehood is sort of the very bright emerald green time that we remember the best in our lives. If you ask people about their first dates, first kisses, these memories are indelible and very vivid. And when you're writing, you tend to go back there pretty quickly. Almost all novels, even if they are about adult characters, carry a large measure of teenage experience.
Some of us say we're all going through life trying to get high school right.
That's the American way through it. Adam Gopnik had an interesting article about the French, and apparently they don't like high school, and they really bloom in early middle age. But I think Americans tend to be adolescent all their lives to a greater degree.
Well, as a grown-up, as a, post-adolescent, if you will.
Yes, it's a little embarrassing. I mean, I'm a mature person. I'm a grown-up. I have a daughter and a wife, and yet I always seem to be the designated teen. So.
But as a grown-up, is there something about teens you've read since you were an adolescent that you look back and say, hey, you know, there was something?
Well, I actually read Catcher in the Rye when I was fairly old and the rest of Salinger. And so those books brought me back to that time, and I think caught teenage years better than anything else. In my own practice, I've never written with an adolescent voice in my novels. My novels are always written by people in early or middle age, recalling their adolescence, recalling their youth. So a book like marked about Huck Finn, as you mentioned, or Catcher in the Rye, that really plugs you straight into the adolescent mind.
How much of your work is autobiographical? I mean, both of your books set in and around Detroit, for example.
Usually the atmosphere is autobiographical and the story is made up. I found with Virgin Suicides was the first thing I wrote that was really about my own town, the people I knew, the people I grew up with. And I sort of forgot about myself in writing that book and looked out of myself at many of the things I knew that I didn't know were of interest to people. And I found that once I wrote about my town and stopped worrying about my own neuroses or my own problems, people were actually more interested in what I was writing. So I use everything in my life, but my life is not interesting enough to command people's attention, so I do have to find the story somewhere else.
Where did you find the story for the Virgin Suicides? Again, it's your town, but I assume not your story.
Not my story. Actually, I was, as I said, late 20s, and I was talking to my nephew's babysitter, and I met her only once for about 5 minutes, and she told me that she and all her sisters had tried to commit suicide. And I was amazed by that story, and I only met her once, and I was left with this mystery and this question of why did they do it. I then began to write the novel, but I put it back into my own adolescence. I pretended that this girl was not someone I met when I was an adult, but someone that I'd seen in my neighborhood when I was 14 or 15.
Hmm. We're talking with Jeffrey Eugenides. Our subject is The Writer's View on Adolescence. If you'd like to join our conversation, it's 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and the email address is totn@npr.org. Let's talk with Mike. Mike's on the phone from Ithaca, New York.
Hi there. I want to recommend very much a book that speaks very much for the human condition, but through the eyes of a 15-year-old person. And the book is called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. It's a line from The Hounds of the Baskervilles, which is a Sherlock Holmes episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is by a modern-day person. He's 15 in 1999, I believe, is when it takes place in Swindon in England. And he has Asperger's syndrome, which is a condition very similar to, if not a form of, autism. But it renders you a genius, but not retarded in any other way. You know, it's not like autistic savants who are retarded in some things and genius in other things. It renders you a genius, but a little bit inept in social things. So he's like Mr. Data or Mr. Spock. But he's 15 years old, very much interested in science, philosophy, and math. And it just takes you through this year in his life, and it's an absolutely beautiful book. I predict it's going to be as big as Chaucer, as Shakespeare. The movie's coming out this fall, and I imagine it's going to be very spectacular.
Is it a book about an adolescent, Mike, or for adolescents, or both?
Okay, I would say, okay, it's written by Mark Haddon, who is not an adolescent anymore, but he used to be a teacher of people with autism, and he also is a long-time, many-booked author of books for teenagers and adolescents. And this is sort of a book more for everyone, but through the eyes of a 15-year-old with Asperger's syndrome. But what's important to mention is a lot of the problems he has are not because he has Asperger's syndrome, but because he's 15. And there are a lot of people, although he's very smart and usually right, there are a lot of people who, because of their age, are more powerful than he is.
Hmm. Thanks very much, Mike.
It's a very beautiful book, and I highly recommend it.
The name once more time.
The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Thanks very much.
Mark Haddon is the author.
Okay. Appreciate the phone call, Mike.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Jeffrey Eugenides, as he was speaking, I've not read the book. I don't know if you have, but...
I haven't. I didn't have Asperger's syndrome when I was a teen.
So, is there a distinction in your mind? Have you ever tried to write for adolescents?
No, I never have. I've always written for any reader of any age old enough to understand my books, but they're really about memory. They're about the lost time of adolescence. So adults usually respond to them as much as teenagers do.
And teenagers read them, though.
Oh, yes. I'm told, actually, The Virgin Suicides is one of the most often shoplifted books. So I have a feeling it's a young readership.
I guess that's a compliment of sorts.
In a way, it is.
Yeah. Your more recent book, Middlesex, you write about Callie Stephanidis, the hermaphrodite. Why did you pick that as a... I mean, we're all confused about our identity, and particularly our sexual identity when we're teenagers, but was that the origin of that idea?
More or less. It's sort of a fairy tale of puberty or adolescence. We all go through this great metamorphosis in that time. We sometimes discover what we want to do in life or who we're going to love. And my character is just doing that in a very exaggerated way, in the way of a character in a fairy tale doing something.
Well, let's get another author on the conversation. Jonathan Lethem won the 1999 National Book Critics Circle Award for his novel Motherless Brooklyn. His latest novel, The Fortress of Solitude, is a semi-autobiographical work. It deals with how growing up white in a predominantly black neighborhood, in this case in Brooklyn, can exacerbate the issues of one's identity. Jonathan Lethem joins us now from his home in Blue Hill, Maine. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Blue Hill's a long way from Brooklyn.
Yeah. But I actually go back and forth. I write well about New York City when I'm not there. I sort of have to dream my way back to it. So.
And dream your way back to adolescence as well?
I guess so, yeah. It's funny, listening to Jeff, I was thinking about how inadvertent it was that I began writing about adolescence and how predominant a mode it is in my work now. And I think I realized that I was creating characters who, while they were in their 30s or 20s or 30s, were really... in relationships with elders or with the world around them that were very adolescent. And so it was a kind of disguised coming-of-age story.
That extended adolescence that Jeffrey Eugenides was talking about earlier.
So it seemed that, you know, even though I was trying to avoid family material and childhood material, that I'd create these kind of quasi-family structures in the books that demanded that I face the real subject.
The requisite question, when you were a teenager, was there a book that, in your mind, got it right?
Well, I mean, I did read Catcher in the Rye very early on, before I could completely understand it. And it's a hugely persuasive book. There's something about that voice and the kind of resentment and the alienation is so...
And the anger.
Yeah. It's a kind of a drug. A very thrilling drug to encounter that book when you're young, but I loved a lot of books that were kind of very big broad canvas coming of age novels. When I was a teenager, I read Of Human Bondage by Somerset Maugham.
Wow, I read that too, but I had to.
Well, it takes the character from childhood to young adulthood, and I really loved, you know, and I love Dickens too. Great Expectations is a really crucial coming of age book, and there's something about seeing that character move through different social strata that I find particularly appealing.
We've been talking about rather high-toned books about adolescence. Jeffrey Eugenides, was there Baseball Joe in the Central League in your background as a teenager? Did those kind of books talk to you, science fiction Mellers, Robert Heinlein books, that kind of thing?
No, sadly, no. I think Jonathan bringing up Dickens really rings a bell with me. You really do identify with his young heroes. And I was reading things like Crime and Punishment. I guess they made me read those books, but I liked them. I'm all for making children read books that are too difficult for them.
Jonathan Lethem, is your book too difficult for children?
Oh, you know, it's a funny thing to think about, because my favorite books when I was a kid were the ones that I was not quite ready to read. And so though there's a lot of material and vocabulary in the book that would seem to prohibit it or, you know, exclude it from younger readers, and probably no one younger than, you know, 13 or 14 would want to tackle it. I love to think about teenagers reading my novels, because that, for me, was always the most passionate reading. That was when I formed my image of wanting to be a writer, and you know, the books that I devoured then, even when I only partially comprehended them, they're still so vital to me.
It mattered then.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking from the writer's view with authors Jeffrey Eugenides and Jonathan Lethem about the power of adolescence as fodder for fiction and literature. What novels told your tale of growing up? Once you were grown up, what novels told the tale of your adolescence? We're taking your call at 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Later on in the program, we'll hear from author Jacqueline Woodson about adolescence growing up black and urban. Join the conversation. The email address again is totn@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. We'll back after a short break. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're getting the writer's view and yours of adolescence. Our guests are Jeffrey Eugenides, the author of The Virgin Suicides and Middlesex, and Jonathan Lethem, the author of Fortress of Solitude. What works of literature help define your adolescence experience, whenever you read it? You're invited to join us, 800-989-8255. Email us, TOTN, at npr.org. And here's an email from Estabrook, I guess is the name. I just finished Middlesex this morning and loved it. Looking back on my own adolescence, I remember vividly the anguish that went along with being a late bloomer, everyone else in bras whispering about their periods, and me just waiting. Callie's character really spoke to me as she was going through this, and the author's ability to write about it so wonderfully amazed me. How was he so able to get inside the adolescent girl's emotional world? Well, Jeffrey?
Well, I don't know if I should admit this, but I too was a late bloomer, and I actually have a theory that many writers are late bloomers. David Foster Wallace told me that he was a late bloomer, and I think the anguish of sort of being in a child's body when your mind is becoming an adult sort of picks you out into a creative realm quite often. How I go about trying to write from a girl's point of view is that I think there are a lot of commonalities between a boy's experience and a girl's. And if we just focus on the late blooming aspect, since we're there, if you're in a locker room as a boy and you have a lot of embarrassment about taking a shower, it's actually not that different than the embarrassment girls have undressing communally. So I can use those same emotions I had, put them in a girl's mind, and then it reads as female experience. We're actually not so different as we might believe.
Jonathan Lethem, were you a late bloomer?
I'm afraid I have to join the club, yeah. And I'm completely with Jeff on the universality of adolescent experience and human experience, too. I'm always struck that when people praise you for entering the mind of another, what they really mean, I think, is that the voice that you've created is individually persuasive, that you've met they've encountered a character in your work that they believe innately, and that has so much to do with the tone of the voice and the writer's commitment to that character, much more than to do with external identities, black or white or male or female.
But we're always told of actors, method acting is supposed to be tapping into your own real experiences to get at the experience. Are you going back literally, Jeffrey Eugenides, to the kind of embarrassment, if that's enough of a word, of the locker room mm-hmm. experience to get that into the mind of your character?
Method acting is actually a fairly apt description of how I try to write. When I wrote my novel where the narrator was intersex, instead of just interviewing intersex people and gathering a lot of information, I tried to identify as much as I could with this narrator and ask myself the question, if I was born this way, how would I have been? How would I have lived? So I really tried to get it out of my own psyche more than trying to get it in a repertorial way.
Hmm. Let's talk with Sean. Sean's on the line with us from Fayetteville, South Carolina.
Hi there.
Hi there.
How are you doing?
Very well, thanks.
I've been listening to your last couple of callers, and I must be the only non-writer calling in, but I have to say that it leads in a good progression. You've been talking about changing social strata and late bloomers, and I think there couldn't be a better book but This Side of Paradise by F. Scott Fitzgerald. He talks about the mind being ahead of the body, and this young boy is growing up basically without his mother in life, not really sure of where to go.
Jonathan Lethem, would you accept this Side of Paradise as a book about adolescence?
I think it does have that quality. It's almost like the element that Jeff and I were each mentioning, where you kind of recapitulate childhood in adulthood so many times. You know, the sense of discovery or self-invention is—it's a kind of pure human experience, and in that way, even though childhood is real, childhood once it moves into literature or into remembrance, it becomes a kind of a symbol or a metaphor for things people are feeling about their lives at almost every point, which is why reading about childhood is so evocative.
And it actually—it's not so much childhood with early adolescence, but more late, heading into his teens.
Right.
He goes away to college, and with the changing of social strata or whatever you want to call it, it's more of that he's in so many different cliques, and he's not quite sure which direction he wants to go. And that confusion, I think, is very much part of growing up and part of that adolescence maturation.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a there's a social instinct that, that is very hard to talk about except in something as complex and various as a novel, which is to measure different groups and different classes and different kind of cultural flavors and try to discover which ones you want to identify with. It's a very, very delicate process.
Yeah. Right after I had read The Great Gatsby, also by the same author, and I thought that both books just, they changed me, and a lot of it was almost as if he was writing, you know, half a century before exactly what I had just gone through, and it's eerie to find a book like that.
Jay Gatsby, sort of an extended adolescent, but in any case, John, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And drive carefully. Jeffrey Eugenides, I wanted to pick up on something that we were just talking about, that the teenage years is the time of self-invention. And clearly, all of us at various times try on different, I'm not sure fully formed persona would be the right idea, but we take on different aspects to see if they will fit us. That's some of what Middlesex is about.
Well, William James said something interesting in Varieties of Religious Experience that I always think about. He said that religious conversions usually happen, or most often happen, to adolescents because the ego is individuated enough to make its own decisions and to sort of fly free of the home. But it's still unformed enough, the ego, that it becomes whatever it sees, whatever it runs into. I was very much that way. When I was 19 or 20, I actually thought of being a Trappist monk. People who know me today would think that this would be very far from something I might achieve in life. So I was always putting on very different, you know, various guises. And if you write about characters who are adolescents, who have that kind of passionate intensity, who are putting on different disguises, changing, who are metamorphic in that way, they're very interesting characters to write about. And that's one of the reasons I've chosen to put teenagers in my books, because they're passionate and you never know what's going to happen with them.
Chameleons, Jonathan Lethem.
Yes, well, you know, one metaphor for adolescence that I've been very addicted to is the image of the superhero. You know, the simultaneous and conflicting urges to be kind of famous and wonderful and fabulous and recognized and celebrated by everyone around you, and at the same time to have a secret identity or a mask, to be kind of misunderstood and heroically alienated and disguised, or, you know, marginal. And I love that, the tension in adolescent identity between wanting to kind of be the most popular kid in school and wanting to be the exile, because there's something about the human need to actually feel kind of tragic or alienated that comes out of the adolescent psyche very, very strongly.
Jeffrey Eugenides, I know we have to lose you, but thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. Jeff, nice talking with you, Jonathan.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Jeff. Bye.
Jeffrey Eugenides is the author of The Virgin Suicides, and his book Middlesex won the 2003 Pulitzer Prize. He joined us from our bureau in Chicago. Let's get another caller on the line. This is Ross, who joins us from Napa, California.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Great. I'm enjoying your program as always. I'm a middle school English teacher here in Napa, in American Canyon, California, and I'm always recommending good books to my kids. One that profoundly affected me as a 14-year-old or so was Frank Herbert's Dune, which fits in perfectly with Jonathan Latham's comments about being a superhero with a mask on, simultaneously feeling completely clueless and helpless, and at the same time feeling that you have a secret you know more than everyone else in the world.
Jonathan Lethem, Ross is not the only person who found characters like this, not just in Dune, but many other science fiction novels.
Yes, that's a terrific description. I really think that's right. It's as though there are these sort of energies and awareness is pulsing through your body, and you kind of feel impossibly beautiful and glorious and powerful and also quite ashamed and confused at the same time. I mean, that image is you've evoked it perfectly.
Dune is great because it's so much more than a science fiction novel. For people who claim not to like science fiction, it operates on so many levels: psychological, political, sociological, economic. And I always recommend it to people who claim they don't like science fiction.
Well, you know, what I think you're talking about in a way is the power of a really of the novel, you know, and especially the broad social novel where so many characters can be depicted and you can really move characters through through the world, and it can be so deeply internal, so personal and subjective, and at the same time portray the world in which the subjective self is dwelling.
Ross, thanks very much.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Thus far, we've been talking with authors about authors of books about adolescence. Joining us now is Jacqueline Woodson, who writes about adolescence for adolescents. She's a two-time National Book Award finalist and written many books for young adults. Her book, Miracles Boys, won her the 2001 Coretta Scott King Award. Now Spike Lee is turning it into a television series for cable TV. Jacqueline Woodson joins us from Nantucket in Massachusetts, and good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Nice to be here.
I wonder, we've been asking each of our authors, what were the books that shaped your adolescence that you thought when you were a teenager, boy, this guy or this woman really got it right?
I think one of the main authors that shaped who I became not only as an adult but as a writer was James Baldwin. I remember the first time I read If Beale Street Could Talk. It was one of the first books that I read that spoke of the people who looked and sounded like people I knew and of my own issues and identities growing up in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. That's very important that you identify with the character,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're a teenager.
Definitely.
How does writing about adolescence differ for you as an author who writes for adolescents?
Well, I am doing both. I'm writing about adolescence for adolescents, and I think the main difference is when you're writing to a particular age group, especially a younger age group, the writing can't be as implicit. You're more in the moment. They don't have the adult experience from which to look back. So you're in the moment of being an adolescent, and the time span is usually shorter. The books take place, for me, most of the times within a year. And the immediacy and the urgency is very much on the page because that's what it feels like to be an adolescent. Everything is so important, so big, so traumatic, and all of that has to be in place for them.
We were talking earlier about the difficulty of a man writing in a girl's voice. You've written a lot of books about boys.
Mm-hmm.
Any problem finding the teenage boy's voice?
I was listening to Jeffrey and Jonathan talk about it, and I agree with what they say in terms of going back and exploring my own issues with identity and the stuff that I faced as a young person and putting that into the head of someone who I didn't grow up, say it's a person who's not a person of color or someone from a very privileged background or someone of a different gender. I go back and remember what it was like for me to be that age and start from the heart of that place. And then writing for boys is a lot harder because they don't say a whole lot. It's a lot more physical, like how they get their messages across are much more physical and a lot fewer words to use. So really having to explore what is being said when nothing is being said or when very little is being said, it was a challenge.
We're speaking with Jacqueline Woodson, the author of Miracles Boys, among many other books, and Jonathan Lethem. He's the author of The Fortress of Solitude. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's get another caller on the line. Brian is with us from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to call in about a book I read as a kid. It's called The Giver by Lois Lowry. It's about the society where everything seems perfectly utopic. And in this society, kids, as they reach the age of 12, are given their apprenticeships, basically. And this boy, Jonas, he was given the job of becoming the giver. The giver held all the knowledge of this society. And he was growing up just a perfectly normal kid, and as he went to start meeting with this gentleman, he ended up starting seeing things differently, and it took him forever to realize what it was, but he was seeing color. And when I say colorblind, I mean they saw in black and white. You didn't
I
know
see.
That.
Until he realized that he was seeing in color.
Right. And throughout this novel, he's growing up as every normal boy does, except, you know, he's going through all the physical changes that every boy's going through. But he feels as if he's the only one, because he is, experiencing what he's experiencing. Mm. And what it really showed me, what I, you know, looking back, it kind of showed me that everybody goes through it and that you will feel like you're the only one.
Jacqueline Woodson, sounded like you're familiar with this book.
I am. I think it's a fabulous book. It's interesting because I think that The Giver is a book I would have liked to have had as an older adolescent, only because when I was much younger, growing up as a girl and as a person of color, I was constantly looking for books that I could find myself in. And so the bummer for me with The Giver was that it was a boy and he wasn't a person of color. And I think the story is amazing. And I think it's a book that speaks to a lot of young people and is an important book.
Jonathan Lethem, your book, The Fortress of Solitude, is, well, it's really about a friendship in a way, a black boy and a white boy.
Yes. I wanted to, well, you know, you were talking to Jeffrey about the autobiographical quality of his books and the setting. And one of the things I really wanted to do was create almost a documentary account of the part of Brooklyn I knew as I was growing up. And so I wanted to evoke the landscape and the exact, very complex racial mix and class mix and economic mix of this vibrant neighborhood that was going through so many changes, and of course this was a time when New York City itself in the early 70s was sort of on its heels. And you know, I did grow up going to schools, public schools, where weirdly I was a kind of reverse minority, and the dynamics and of racial awareness were flipped around in a very interesting way. So yeah, that's the world that I kind of set these two main characters loose in.
And they, adventures ensue, and we don't have time to cover them all, but let me thank you for being with us today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks.
Jonathan Lethem, his book is The Fortress of Solitude, comes out in paperback later this month from Vintage Press, and he's the author of A Motherless Brooklyn as well, which got the 1999 Book Critics Circle Award, and he joined us from his home in Blue Hill, Maine. After a short break, we're going to continue our conversation about the books of adolescence and for adolescence with Jacqueline Woodson, the author of Miracles Boys. Our number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. We're also going to be going to Athens to check in on some of the events at the Olympic Games, and we'll be talking with a man who's been following the fortunes of his favorite team, the surprise of the 2004 Olympic Games, the Iraqi men's soccer team. So stay with us for that. You're listening to Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. This is NPR News. Right now, though, we're talking with Jacqueline Woodson about writing for adolescents about adolescents. Are you a young adult? What are you reading? Join the conversation. Our number is 800-989-8255. Email is totn@npr.org. And here's an email question we got from Kathy Patton. I teach librarians about young adult lit. Miracles Boys and Hush are often part of the assigned canon for the class. How does Ms. Woodson answer the timid librarians and administrators who sometimes think that the content, language, etc., are not suitable?
That's really interesting. I'm glad Kathy emailed. It's interesting because I never use curse words or really informal language in the literature, so I'm wondering what people consider unsuitable. And I think it's one of the conundrums of being a young adult writer or a librarian or a teacher, because the school librarians themselves, sometimes the teachers are the gatekeepers and making the decisions about what literature gets into the hands of young people. And if they're uncomfortable with the quote-unquote issues in the book, then young people will have a harder time getting the books into their hands. So I think what people need to look at is their own uncomfortability and ask themselves, why do certain topics, Why does certain subject matter make me as an adult uncomfortable? Does it bring up stuff from my young adulthood?
Mm-hmm.
And why would I think, given what's in the media, given what young people get exposed to every day with something like a story about a girl's religion or the are three boys having to raise themselves after the death of their parents be a subject that is hard to deal with?
Hillary is on the line with us from Bethesda, Maryland.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Hillary.
I'm a high school English teacher, and I teach Catcher in the Rye and a separate piece and kind of a lot of outdated, I would call them, teen novels. And while my students really do like Catcher in the Rye and like reading about a teenager for once, I worry that, you know, trying to identify with a boy living in New England going to prep school and then running around in New York City in the 50s might be an exciting thing for them to read. It's not something that's very close to their own experience. And one of the things they like about it is all of the swearing. And the thing, you know, that they like is that it's controversial and it's banned very frequently. And I would love to be able to teach a book like Middlesex or books that you've been talking about, but they would never be approved by, you know, the curriculum committees in a public school system. And so that's a real problem for, I think, you know, high school teachers these days.
I think one way of getting around that, I think Catcher in the Rye is a fabulous book, and I think it's timeless, and I think it really does move across lines of race and class and time and all of that stuff. I think one thing that happens when young people don't see parts of themselves reflected in literature is they feel less legitimized. They feel like who they are does not matter in the world, and they feel like, you know, what matters is to be a white boy in New England at a prep school who's an outsider. So I think that gets complicated. I think what you do with something like Jeff's book, like Middlesex, is you Xerox a section of it that's an acceptable section that you know will make your students hungry for the rest of it. And then they have the option to go to the library and get that book. So maybe they don't get taught that book, but they, you know, get introduced to it and gain access to it that way.
Hillary, thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate the phone call. And Jacqueline Woodson, good luck with the television series.
Oh, thank you.
Jacqueline Woodson is a 2-time National Book Award finalist. She's written many books for young adults, including Miracles Boys, which is being made by Spike Lee into a series for cable television. She joined us from Nantucket in Massachusetts.